All right, that looks like it started. If not, it's not my fault. I'm good with some technology, but not with all of it. All right, everybody here knows what a shield is, right? I mean, you got the different types of shields. If I said shields to my teenagers back there, they're going to be thinking Star Trek and things like that.
Yeah.
Maybe some Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be thinking about shields like that. Other people might be thinking about riot shields. Those are really cool devices, by the way. I did when I was younger, I did medieval combat. You can't really tell now, but I was actually really good at it. And I loved using a shield and a sword. It was my favorite combination because people never expected you to be able to do anything with it. You never see them on TV. Nobody ever uses a sword and a shield. The cool guys always use a single sword, and they're so good nobody can touch them. But a sword and a shield is a very handy device on a battlefield. Well, a medieval battlefield. I wouldn't necessarily take it to Iraq or Afghanistan right now. But a shield could be multiple different things. You see on the movies, you see these big, huge metal shields. Those weren't real. You wouldn't be able to carry those into combat. Anybody who's ever picked up a big chunk of metal about this big and tried to carry it on one arm, just tell you, it's probably not going to happen. Keeping in mind that most of the knights at the time were probably about this tall. So, shields were usually made out of wood. They were bound together with leather or other types of strapping. Sometimes they had pieces of metal holding them together and making them a bit stronger. Sometimes they'd be faced with metal so that you could do, you know, you could paint them, do other things like that. But they were very handy. They lasted all the way through the Middle Ages. We still, like I said, we still use them in some capacity now, in riot police or whenever you're using them to protect yourself from something. We got ballistic shields that stop bullets. So a shield is a concept that passes through time. It's something that we're able to understand now. We're able to see the strength in it now. In chapter 30, starting in verse 5, we see every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So the first thing we're going to look at is he's a pure shield. And that the way that I think about it, what I'm looking at is every word of God is pure. And the word literally means, it means refined. Like when you refine gold, you burn all the dross out of it, you heat it up, and you heat it for a long period of time, and it burns all the bad stuff out of it. So it's literally been, the way that the concept of the verse goes, it's every word of God is pure, every word has been tested, every word has been found to be without fault. Okay? So all of that has been tested, all of it's been found without fault. It is the base about which, it's the base that the verse builds the shield on. It says, every word of God is pure, he is a shield unto them that puts their trust in him. All right. Most important thing about holding a shield is keeping your feet where you can take a hit and you can move. If you have a wrong stance and you're standing too close together and you try to block, you're going to get knocked over. Martial arts teach you the same thing. If you want to keep a good stance, you want to keep a good foundation to be able to use that shield. The Word of God is the foundation that we stand on. It's the very foundation of what we have. And in this verse, we learn the truth that the Word of God is pure. It's been tested. It's been tried. Where in the youth group, we're talking about the validity of the Old Testament, how we can prove that it's made it through time without being altered. And we're about to do a study on the New Testament where we can show that the New Testament was eyewitnesses that was written shortly after the crucifixion. So we can trust that. And we can see where the history of the Old Testament is tested over and over again by archaeologists and things like that. And they try to prove it wrong, and they end up proving it right. When the Dead Sea Scrolls came out, they thought, a lot of people thought that we were going to find out that the Bible was that the Bible had been massively changed. And what we found out was that the Bible hadn't changed at all. In fact, most of the places that we could find, the Bible was exact copies of these old manuscripts. And the little pieces that we had, they were exactly the same. So it's changed, it's come through all of that time, being tested, and still being found to be good, being found to be pure, being found to be right. So, it's our foundation. We can, talking about shields, there's a couple other verses. Psalms talks about shields a lot. And when we talk about God throughout the Bible, the God is talked about as a shield. My shield, the shield. He's also talked as defensive positions, like my rock, my fortress. Psalms chapter 144, verses 1 through 2 has that. So we go a little bit farther back here. I tried to keep them close together, mainly so I wouldn't, you know, lose my place. 144, verses 1 through 2. Says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth the people, my people under me. Now, one of the things that we see here is we've been talking about shields throughout the Bible and into the New Testament. Even in the New Testament, Paul talks about putting on the armor of God. And he talks about us being in a war. It's the same thing that David's talking about. Now, David, he's talking about physical foes too. But David's not just talking about physical foes. He is talking about the spiritual foes that he fought, the places that he was up against, the way that God used him. God taught him to fight. David was an amazing warrior all the way up until he was very old. He was out in the, front fighting, and he was leading an army. And the descriptions of him through the Old Testament are just amazing. Even as he got older, how his prowess in battle and how strong he was and how he was able to hold his own. And he says here, God taught me to fight. He taught my fingers to be strong. You know, that's important when you're holding on to a shield and you're holding on to a sword. All right, you've got to hold on to those weapons in order to be able to do anything on the battlefield. And then it says, he's my goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, all of these defensive positions. He's the person that saves me. He's the person that comes for me. He's the person that protects me. He's the person that is the shield for me in the world. And we see that God is personal to us. It's not just that his word is a foundation for how we should live and a foundation for how we should do, but God is personal. He takes a personal interest in every single one of us. He wants to teach us to fight. He wants to teach us to stand on our own. He wants to teach us to be strong. And he'll defend us. He'll be there when we're down. He'll be there when he needs it. And most importantly, my deliverer, he sent his son as a personal savior for each one of us. Died on a cross. You can't get a better shield than that. Jesus paid that personal price for our salvation. God is our personal shield. His word is our pure foundation. It's the pure shield for us. Now, in Psalms, and you don't have to turn here, it's just Psalms chapter 28. I saw it in the van while I was waiting. I was trying to remember where this one was. Chapter 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with a song I will praise him. Same thing. The Lord is my shield. Because he's there, because he's protecting me, because he gave me that salvation and he gave me that strength, I can rejoice. Which Christians, we have something that the rest of the world searches for. We have a hole that's been filled. We have a value because we know what was the price that was paid for us. So, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to drag you all over the place. This is the last verse. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. And it's a place I stop a lot. I mean, you can tell I've always been told you could tell where somebody's heart is in the Bible by how much it's been worn out in that place, or how much, how much study has been done on that part of it. I've seen it over and over again that the places get worn out in Bibles where people, they go and they need help, and those are that God provides it. So, He's our pure shield. He's our foundation for that, for being able to carry it. He's our personal shield. And here we're going to find out He's a mobile shield. God doesn't expect us just to, now, the verse here reads, having done nothing else than just to stand in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, if nothing else, just being able to stand against what the world is going to give you is good enough. Because then you've done more than enough. You've stood up. You've given a witness to everyone around you. You're there. You're in the armor that God has provided, and you're standing against the world to have the strength, and you have the strength to do that, to make that stand. So, in verse 16, it goes through verse 13 through 17, it gives the armor. But in verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Okay? It's one of my favorite verses. I love the thought of having the shield I used to carry it. I wasn't allowed to use it like I wanted to, but it was a leather-bound shield with a thick leather, and it was boards underneath with leather straps holding for the handles. And the idea behind the shield is it was made to stop arrows. And it was made specifically to stop fire arrows, because the arrow would fly through the air and stick in you, and it would burn. It had tar on it, so it would splatter on you. And that's not a comfortable feeling. I don't care if you've got armor on, burning pitch or tar or whatever, splattered on your armors. Not a comfortable place. But with that shield, you could take a step back, you could get in, crouch, and protect a good chunk of your body, if not all of your body. And those arrows, when they hit the shield, they went through the leather and stopped in the wood. But the leather would close up behind them, and it would put the fire out. So, when you think about a shield that quenches the fiery darts, think about a shield, and we've all seen the movies where there's all these arrows flying through the air, and they're all on fire, and there are these people back here going, oh, I really hope these don't hit me really bad. We're carrying a shield that can put those out. Not only does it stop them, but it puts them out. There's no fire. It's not going to damage my shield. It's going to go in and it's going to stop. And we're going to break those arrows off, and we're going to continue to do what we need to do. We're going to stand. And we're going to move forward. And that's, those fiery darts are what really get me, because you got to think about, what would he be talking about, the fiery dart? I mean, what could be considered so heinous that it would be not only something that could kill you, but something that could maim you and burn you and disfigure you? I mean, what are those things? And you look around, people. We're going to run into people that are going to be, they're going to attempt to hurt us. If for no other reason than we're Christians, or because they don't like that we're taking a stand, or they don't like who we're standing for. Our experiences in life, we're going to have those ups and downs. We're going to have good parts in life and bad parts in life. We're going to lose friends. We're going to lose family. We're going to lose jobs. We're going to change jobs. We're going to be stuck in places we may not want to be stuck in. You know, there are times when you're stuck in a job and there's no way to move yet. You don't really want to be there, but you kind of have to be there. That was me with the state for like 5 years. Sitting in a job I could not stand to go to every day, and finally I got a good job. I got promoted within the state, and it's been a whole lot better. But it's drudgery. It's terrible. And then trying to go and be Christ-like while you don't want to be there, doing stuff you don't want to do. And of course, working some in the unit I was in, working with people who didn't do their job, so you had to do it or you got in trouble. People, experiences, personal setbacks, all of those things are fiery darts that Satan will use to hurt you or take away your testimony or use to burn the desire to stand out of you. And quench is the word that's used. Quench, it means to completely put out, to extinguish, to suffocate, to take it completely away. Quench it, make it cold. It's not even hot anymore. That's what the shield does. You hold your shield up, that shield of faith. You stand there and you hold it up. And no matter how much you get barraged, you can stand, because those fiery darts will be put out. And they will be taken care of. Now, no more Bible verses. I don't have any more, but I have a thought pattern. I'm going to move this real quick because I want you guys to think about something. Trying to think of a good movie reference, but I'm not coming up with one. There's a unit type and a battle type that was called a phalanx. Anybody know what a phalanx was? P-H-A-L-A-N-X. It's ancient phalanx. Yeah, I'm never very good with words. I know the tactics and the idea behind it. And the Romans used it, but the Greeks used it. I mean, a lot of different people use it. The idea was you would have a group of trained soldiers, and they would stand shoulder to shoulder, and they would hook their shields into each other. So I'm hooking my shield up next to this guy's shield. This guy's hooking his shield up to mine. As we go down the line, when we get to the side, as the guy goes to the side, he turns to the side and hooks the shield into this guy. So we're all protecting each other all the way through. Now, the normal way you did it was you put it into a square. Okay? All your sides are protected. Everything's protected. If you got rained on with arrows, you could collapse back a little bit and you would protect everybody's backside too. Or if there were people in the middle, they would raise their shields and protect the people in front of them or beside them. And everybody would do that. And then when you were facing the arrows, they would all work as a team to stop the arrows from hurting each other. Okay? On top of that, you could take a small phalanx unit. Thank you. You could take a small phalanx unit and you could defeat a much larger force. Because when you're standing there shoulder to shoulder, and you're standing there based on a good footing, and you trust the people that you're with to fight with you, when you hook those shields and the enemy comes at you, you can push them back. You can push a much larger force because everybody's working in unison, and those shields become a dozer, and you step forward and you push. And you can actually push the enemy off of its feet and back a little bit, and knocks them off balance. When you knock them off balance, you can take them down. Everybody protected the man next to them. Whenever I read Picking Up the Shield of Faith, all I can think about is that in our church. If we all stand interlocking shields as a church, protecting each other, lifting each other up, taking care of each other, working with each other, what can stop a church? Nothing. Nothing can stop a church that's working together in the same direction. So that's what I have on the shield. Does anybody have any questions on it? No? No questions? Yes, sir.
Maybe reference for that is the eagle.
The eagle?
In the very first part of it, they go out and all of the soldiers are linked to it like that, and then they got the ones covering the top. They go out and bring the guy in, take him away from the enemy, and bring him in.
Okay. Awesome. I'll have to remember that. I'll probably ask you again. But, yes, ma'am.
I just have a comment. Some of the fiery darts are one in particular I keep thinking about would be things people say.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sometimes the hardest thing to ward off. But if you're a Christian, you at least have something to work with, you know, and you don't let it get the best of you, whether it's gossip or hateful things or lies, you know, anything like that.
So right.
Just a different kind of dart.
That's good. Anybody else? Brother Ronnie, you want to close us in prayer?